Almost live from a very cool corner in Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Ted Sampson and Christiana D. Now, push your earbuds in a little deeper. Here's Nate.
Burrowing deeply into your brain.
Khan. Didn't that happen in the Wrath of Khan?
It could have.
They weren't earbuds. I guess I'm the only one. I'm the one who should know that.
Yeah,
my name sounds clunky. I'm just coming to that realization.
Christiana D.
It's clunky.
Oh, well, sorry.
There's too many. It's my mom's fault.
So yeah, kind of. We could change it and call you Chrissy D. Would that be better?
Oh, Chrissy. You're such a Chrissy.
Yeah, I know, right?
Am I?
Like from Three's Company. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Chrissy
right.
From Three's Company, the bubbly
sure.
Ball. You're more of a Janet, I think.
I don't know how I feel about that either.
All right.
I'm more, as long as you don't say I'm a Mr. Roper.
Yeah,
right.
You don't
want
to do that. All right, coming up on the show this week, we're going to talk about Lena Dunham and the show Girls. Which
Girls.
I don't get Girls. We'll talk about
all
that.
I really want is
Something that came to my attention this morning, The Labor Machine. It's possibly the silliest thing I've ever seen in my life. And
so is labor. So.
Well, there you go. And Lupe Fiasco, who is someone I thought I would never talk about. But here we go. We'll talk about Lupe Fiasco in a little bit.
Never say never.
Never. We also want to remind you and thank you for shopping Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com. It's the best way to support the show. It's simple. It's easy. It doesn't cost you any money. And it helps us out. Just go to NateDarlingShow.com. Click the Amazon tab. And then shop till your heart's content.
I almost shopped through Amazon.com today until I realized that it was saying usually ships within 1 to 2 months.
Oh, yeah. That's always
and
a bummer.
And I realized that's...
I need it in the next
no.
1 to 2 weeks.
Now.
Yeah.
1 to 2 days.
Months.
What? Ridiculous.
Yeah.
I only shop online for the immediate gratification aspect
well,
of
yeah.
It. Otherwise, I'll just go to a store.
Yeah. I placed an eBay bid last night, but... I don't know why I do this. I've got a Portland Timbers hooded sweatshirt, which I got for a really good price, but that was an eBay bid, and I just bid for a Portland Timbers polo shirt yesterday.
Are you a fan of the team?
Or just well, I am now because I have
that
the
a
gear.
Hockey team?
It's a soccer team, MLS team in Portland, Oregon.
Why them?
I don't know, because they're kind of cool. I like they've got a lumberjack who saws off a big hunk of a log if they score a goal.
Oh, that sounds kind of dirty.
It's really cool. But I bid $7. So if I get it, I won a $7 polo shirt, which is actually a pretty good deal.
Good
either
job.
Any way you look at it. So that's it. Stay off of eBay, kids.
Yeah.
Other than that, Ted, how was your week?
Well, my week was great. Vegan girlfriend and I went down to Disneyland to, it was my godson's 7th birthday, and it was fun, except my godson's reminds me of a young me in that he's very rambunctious and prone to running around and pushing every button he can find and trying to open every door he could find.
So he's 7?
He's 7.
Okay.
A young me, not me now.
No, but seriously, that's every 7-year-old I've ever heard of.
But, well, he's on the, yeah, on the extreme side of pushing every door and climbing up every
he's an extreme!
To
7-year-old.
It's crazy. So, exactly. But
I think that's most 7-year-olds.
I do, too.
I don't know that's not.
So he's like
boys or girls,
you have
frankly.
To trust me. He's
excessive. I'll trust you.
He's like a 7-year-old on Mountain Dew.
Yeah, yes, that's a good... Yes,
but not on Mountain Dew.
No, he's not on Mountain Dew. Plus, I'm happy to say, those of you who are holding off going to Disneyland and California Adventure, I think they're done with it pretty much now. It's worth actually checking out. So...
Hooray!
Yes, thank you. I'm glad you had that
exciting.
Set up. No, it's Cars Land. Pretty cool.
I just realized this has nothing to do with Disneyland, but Ted's wearing a shirt, which apparently... Was that a show with Alanis Morissette and Bare Naked Ladies?
It was a show.
That's like a Canadian dream come true.
Oh, Canadian wet dream. And it was a naked show or something.
I would be the... Did you go to that show?
I did, yeah. On
Natural. I'm jealous.
Oh.
Was Alanis Morissette naked and holding her private parts during the whole thing?
Unfortunately not.
Because I think that would kind of inhibit singing. I would think.
And the bare naked ladies were not bare or naked. Or well, ladies, for that matter.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're none of those things,
true.
which is probably for the best.
Brilliant lyricists.
Mm-hmm. Even with Stephen the Cokehead not in the band anymore.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I don't know his last name, so I just call him Stephen the Cokehead, because I think that's why he's not in the band anymore. Christiana, did you have a lovely week?
I had a pretty good week. For the long weekend, spent it with 3,000 of my closest friends.
Yeah.
Not, well, 2,400 of my closest high school students, or I don't know.
Weird.
Are you starting
conference.
A cult? What's
going
on?
No, YMCA conference.
So a cult.
I'm not sure I call it cult.
That's what the C stands for, sure. Isn't it?
The C stands for something like that. I did have someone tell me once that they should take the C out of the name because we weren't
C anymore.
Enough.
You weren't Christian enough?
Yeah.
Well, if they allowed you there, they should take the M out of there, too.
That's right. And the well, Y.
I was
yeah.
going to say
no,
it,
it's
but
okay.
And
the Y.
It's fun to stay at the just, A.
Yeah, it's a whole conference of A.
Yeah, but it was great. And you know, overly earnest statements don't make for a great podcast. But I missed watching the inauguration, but I got my fill of, you know, like patriotic warm fuzzies.
Okay.
Hanging out with a bunch of kids who chose to spend their time and their weekend and their energy studying the legislative process and being pretty cool and seeming like they care about the world, and it gives you hope for the future.
Yay.
Yeah.
For the most part.
I missed the inauguration too, but it was because I slept in.
Fair enough.
I slept in. They have it really early for those of us out on the West Coast.
They have it. It's at 9.
That's early for a holiday. I mean, if I'm going to be up by 9, then it's got to be a work day.
Or a football game.
Or a football. Well, yeah. That's true. Not going to lie. That's in fact true. I was up at 9 the day before, and there was a hockey game on. So
okay.
So there you go. Hockey, that's my week. Hockey's back.
Oh.
Very excited. The league is back. I'm a little bit irritated with the NHL. Not just for the lockout, but for NHL, their online streaming package, which I have to watch through my PlayStation 3. And so I signed up for it. I paid for it. I'm like, yeah, let's do this thing.
Woo.
And I went to log on through my PS3, and it tells me that the app required will be available soon. It's not actually available now. It'll be available soon.
Oh, good.
Yeah, dicks.
What does that even mean?
Like it's
usually ships within 1 to 2 months.
Exactly. Sadly, that's the entire length of the season. Luckily for them, my anger was somewhat tempered by the fact that they start the season with a free preview on cable, so I was able to watch on my TV. I didn't have to huddle around my tablet or my laptop to watch the game.
Lame.
The Hockey Night in Canada debut on Saturday of Montreal and Toronto, which was a great game. Nice job by the refs. Congratulations on their big win. You striped a-holes.
Oh.
Yeah, it didn't go well. It didn't go well for me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I'm saying.
Dear me.
Yeah, exactly. There were some really bad calls that turned the tide early on in the game, but there was a fight, so that was good.
Oh, good.
So there you go. That was the NHL is back. I'm excited about that. And a whole bunch of other stuff this past week. The big thing that everybody was talking about last week, it sort of died off. But he'll be talking to Katie Couric soon. Manti Te'o.
Oh, Manti.
Yeah.
The All-American from Notre Dame, the Heisman Trophy runner-up. Apparently, his dead girlfriend. The good news is his dead girlfriend, not dead.
Yay.
The bad news is never existed.
Boo.
Yeah.
I don't know what's worth to die or to never exist. Yeah, existential there.
Yeah, I never looked at it.
Not every girlfriend dies, but not every girlfriend truly lives or something. I don't know.
You know,
I never
considered French existentialism when talking about this story. Thank you.
Oh, sure.
You and René Descartes, I just were not in the top of my mind with this whole thing. If you're not familiar with the story, and God help you if you're not. So Manti Te'o's grandmother passed away.
I think God did help you if you're not.
Yeah.
Save that part of your brain for something more productive.
His grandmother passed away in September.
Did she exist?
She actually did exist. Okay. She passed away. But the hoax sort of came out that the story was his grandmother passed away, and 6 hours later, his girlfriend passed away from leukemia.
Oh.
At 22 years old. And she had supposedly been in a serious car accident in California. She had leukemia. And in an SI article, there was a description of how he would phone her in the hospital room and stay on the line with her as he slept through the night, which I have no idea why you would do that. Her relatives told them at her lowest points, as she fought to emerge from the coma, her breathing rate would increase at the sound of his voice.
Aw.
Yeah, it's a great story if it were actually true. But it's not. Now, upon receiving the news of the two deaths, he went out and led the Fighting Irish to a 20-3 upset of Michigan State. He got 12 tackles. It was heartbreaking. It was inspirational. It was the story of the year.
It's a short year thus far. It's only been a couple weeks.
2012.
Oh, sorry.
And
that's trying.
Deadspin broke the story about the fake girlfriend. Apparently, he realized it in December. And didn't tell anybody, or he told Notre Dame, and they did their investigation. Notre Dame came out and had the press conference and said, he's a victim. He's a complete victim. He didn't know anything about this. He was not part of the hoax. He was a man who, and the athletic director actually started to cry, which made me giggle. Because
Jezebel did a great story about contrasting, I think, the school's response to this to the like rape accusations on campus, where the college was like, meh.
Yeah, there. That's
does it not have to do with football? Good. Moving on.
Well, it did, because it was one of the football players was accused of raping a student at the college across the street. Mm-hmm. But that never went anywhere.
Sadly, she existed.
She did exist, and then she committed suicide, so now she doesn't.
That's horrible.
Yeah. But the whole thing, there was all this speculation. Was he really first of all, it was unbelievable. Everybody that heard about the story is like, what? That doesn't make any sense. And then it was like, was he in on it? Was he not in on it? How did, you know, what was the whole thing? And so Ted, your initial reaction when you first heard about the story, were you thinking he must have known?
I'll tell you what, I read all about it at once, and I you know, he allegedly met this girl through Twitter and they came online sweethearts that way. And I know that's plausible. I'm you know, back in the day when I was young, I met someone online, I thought I'd fallen for her. I know other people would do it. But then I read deeper, like there's article interviews where they talked about how they met face to face and all the details. So obviously there's something fishy that they, you know, if she doesn't exist, they never met. And then I want to know who fed the media those stories. So then I thought, okay, it sounds like someone is lying, and it's probably him. So yeah, he's a liar.
Christiana, what was your initial reaction?
I don't know. I think there's still enough prejudice against online relationships. It's more accepted now. You know, it's sort of more mainstream to say that you use dating websites or that you find somebody that way and it works out. But it's still, some people don't do that kind of thing.
Sure, they've got Christian Mingle now.
They do. They have all kinds of, well, it's the, you know,
J-Date.
Oi. It should be J-Date, because you don't have to be Jewish to use it. It should just be Date.
Date.
Like the Y. Date.
Yeah, we talked about that. You've investigated further. A goy can get on J-Date?
Even a goy. They don't do a circumcision check or anything. Plus, for women, that wouldn't make a difference.
No,
that
would be bad. I don't know. I think that, you know, first of all, I think we are maybe crediting some of the reporting a little bit too much. Obviously, they didn't, even the news organizations who reported the stuff said, like, we never really checked it. So how do we know that they reported the quotes accurately? Some stuff's from his parents, some stuff's from him. Maybe he didn't want to be seen as the lame guy who never actually got together with his girlfriend. I think it's possible to have this, you know, a really in-depth relationship that you think is true based on email and communication and all this. And because you're able to present this very specific portion of yourself and then interpret other people are saying in a specific way that fits your mindset.
Sure.
You know, it happens. This guy got totally duped. But even if she turned out to be, even if she turned out to be a real person, sometimes these relationships can flame out in weird ways because you're not actually, you know, the love letter based relationship doesn't necessarily really work in real life.
Time to craft stuff.
Mm-hmm. So
when I first heard the story, I was like, this is utter and complete bullshit. Because I'm a skeptical person by nature. And if you're somebody who wants to be in the spotlight, the best way to be in the spotlight in terms of sports is to have that emotional heartstring story, because that's what ESPN loves to go with. That's how they use sports to try to appeal to more women, is to have that emotional heartstring story, because of course women couldn't possibly be interested in the game. So that was part of it. And then I had people go, have you seen Catfish? Have you seen Catfish? And I'm like, no, I have not seen Catfish. And I was like, I have no interest in seeing Catfish. And then finally, last night, because there was nothing else on, I gave in and watched an episode of Catfish on MTV. Not the movie, because I'm not dedicating 2 hours to this crap. But I watched an episode where basically Catfish is the original movie. This guy is in an online relationship, and he desperately wants to meet this girl, and he has his brother sort of film it, and his brother is an amateur filmmaker. They make this documentary about it. Turns out she was pretending to be somebody she wasn't. Ta-da. They ended up being friends, at least for the intro of the Catfish TV show. So basically, when the documentary came out, people started emailing this guy whose name is Neve, although it's spelled Nev. N-E-V
the
is not
things that bother me.
N-E-V without anything else. But that Neve. Anyway, he Neve Schulman. It's just an odd combination of names.
Sounds Jewish.
I know, but he's
is he on J Date?
He might be. He'd have better luck. But people email him with like, hey, I'm in an online relationship, but it doesn't quite feel right. And then they come out and they investigate, you know, as to what's going on. And so people do get duped by fake Facebook profiles, fake this, fake that, because someone they're being presented with something online and the person behind it is somebody that's completely different.
Right.
So I've sort of modified my thinking on it. I think he was probably duped to begin with. But then he sort of got caught in the lie and just went with it. So oh. I think he's a liar. I think he's been going along with the lie for several months now. But I think he was probably originally duped.
Do you think he was it for the Heisman stuff?
You know, I don't know.
I don't care because I'm still bitter about the Heisman shit because Geno Smith. And all that flame out, and I'm sad. And this year's Heisman thing isn't something I never want to talk about again.
Okay.
So, yeah.
You know, I don't...
Go Mountaineers.
I don't know if that's what it was for. I think it was just something, you know, when you're the star player and you have to come up with an anecdote, and he's obviously not a smart guy, despite being at Notre Dame where they have high academic standards, because he was duped by this, and he went along with it, and there were all the stories about how they met in person. Well, he's going to supposedly tell Katie Couric on her daytime talk show that the leak is that he told his dad that they had met in person. And so he had to go along with that lie so that his dad wouldn't find out that they hadn't met in person. I mean, it's there's a whole bunch of ridiculousness that goes along with the story.
Plus, like, his friend was involved in it somehow. I don't know. I think it's plausible to fall in love with someone online, but
yeah
too many weirdnesses.
Yeah, and ultimately, does it matter? No. He didn't kill a hooker. He didn't bludgeon a puppy. He didn't do anything other than,
that we know of yet.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, his biggest crime, and it's not even a crime, is being stupid and a kind of a narcissist. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I have one more thing about the Heisman. I saw him show... He showed up at the Heisman. He was wearing, like, a palm tree around his neck or something, like traditional Hawaiian garb. And I'm... You know, that's fine and all, but...
I think it was just a lay.
No, it was...
I think it was Samoan.
Dude, it was way bigger than a lay.
Was it Samoan? I don't think it was
It might have been. Either way. Either way,
It's an island. Some island shit.
I'm Scottish. I don't show up places in a kilt just because... You know, it's not like, ooh, it's a special occasion. I'm going to break out the kilt because it's traditional.
You should, though. That'd be awesome.
No, you...
Donut dash kilt. I'll wear a kippah if you wear a kilt. And what would Christiana wear? Never mind.
I would...
Sombrero?
Sure.
Okay. speaking of the
sombrero,
donut...
Sombrero, like an apron, carry a bowl of pasta, and I'd be doing Irish step dancing.
There you go.
Oh, wow. I know Irish is in that mix, too.
Combine them all up. Speaking
My
of the...
fiery temper comes from somewhere, Ted.
That was Italian or Spanish.
Both.
No Mexican.
I'm a very angry, very guilty, very Catholic person.
Okay.
And I can drink, yo.
Speaking of the Donut Dash, Zach from the Donut Dash is going to be on the show in a couple of weeks. So.
Sweet.
Yeah,
can we all eat donuts like during that?
Yeah, if you want to pick
them
up.
I'll bring some donuts. Yeah, it'll be fun. It doesn't take much to get me to
donuts. I want to get warmed up for the race. That's a good idea.
Yeah, we'll get some Marie's. We'll get some Marie's donuts.
I like your style.
I'm not going to run in advance, but I'll eat some donuts.
I think we should have
some training walks between that donut place in between Freeport Bakery and the donut place next door. Back and forth.
Oh, man. Feel the burn.
Back and forth.
The heartburn.
It's a whole 12 feet. Get me another donut. Let's move on with it. We need another donut. Mentioned Lupe Fiasco again. Why would I talk
Who's
about
Lupe Fiasco?
He's a rapper of sorts.
Right.
Oh yeah, of sorts.
Of sorts.
Right.
Well, Lupe Fiasco for some reason was performing at a pre-inauguration event, and he was thrown off stage after going on an anti-Obama rant.
Nope.
That's not quite what.
Why
I
would
mean.
You do that?
Well, sort of. Josh Rogan, who's a reporter with the Foreign Policy magazine, I didn't know that was even a thing. He tweeted late Sunday, Lupe Fiasco just got thrown off stage here at Hamilton Live after he went on an anti-Obama diatribe mid-set. basically played one anti-war song for 30 minutes, said he didn't vote for Obama, and eventually was told to move on to the next song, said no, and then the security guards came up and told him he had to leave then.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, why are you there if you're going to be that way? Don't be the asshole who pees in the plants at the party. That's what I got to say about it.
Yeah.
Don't be that guy. I mean, I guess I'm talking about Lupe Fiasco.
Wow, that scared me.
Yeah, I know.
Was that Lupe?
Here he is.
Is this Lupe?
Yeah, his problem is that he's peaceful. And then he just sort of stood there on stage and danced around like a, I don't know what. But first of all, why are you inviting Lupe Fiasco? You know there's going to be problems. It's right there in his name.
Well, also, apparently he criticized Obama in advance. I thought it was kind of ballsy to invite him to headline the inauguration, I guess. It was just, you know, I can take criticism. But I think the guy just, he could have used the forum to criticize Obama and move on, but he just abused his opportunity, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I applaud Kanye West for his restraint in the George Bush doesn't care about black people remark. I mean, that didn't yeah. that didn't hold anything up. He just moved right along.
Yeah.
And, live television.
And if you know me, you know I don't have a lot of good things to say about Kanye.
That's
but
right.
That's one. So yeah, Lupe has criticized Obama's stance on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and stated that he does not vote in elections because of his anti-establishment views. Well, that'll work out well for you, dick.
Ooh. I'm not going to vote because I'm anti-establishment.
Well, then your voice won't be heard.
More votes for Christiana.
That's
true.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll work out well. Maybe
I'll take a vote for you, non-voting people. Don't worry about it.
Maybe you can go ahead and invite Lupe Fiasco to your next YMCA thing.
Well, a thing.
No.
I'm going to get that happen.
I think you should. It'll be fun. Hey, kids, it's Lupe Fiasco. And then something will go horribly wrong, and you'll go, well, it's in his name.
Oh, no.
This headline caught my eye because I'm like, this has to be a joke. But apparently it is not. Wrangler, the pair of jeans that I like to wear, because at least in the men's here in the States, they've got the U shape for your junk.
What? Well,
you haven't seen those ads with Brett Favre and Dale Earnhardt Jr. about
Brett Favre. Sorry, I can't think about him without that line for some reason.
But they've got their big marketing thing is they've got the U-shaped crotch, so it has extra room for your stuff.
Oh man, here I've been wearing Levi's like a sap.
Yeah, there you go. Those are V-shaped, just jamming your junk all back up in your stuff.
Yeah.
Which is not good.
You shouldn't have your junk in your stuff.
You shouldn't not jammed up like that. So Wrangler has launched the first pair of moisturizing jeans. I'm guessing.
Finally.
Not, yeah, I know.
It's, yeah. They've done this with like tights and pantyhose and stuff before too, supposedly.
See, this is the expertise I needed on this.
It's good because if there's anything we need, it's more chemicals.
Sure.
Close and in our bodies, I think, probably.
So the pioneering Skinny Fit style incorporates high-performance skincare ingredients to protect your legs from dehydrating effects of denim. The denim spa jeans come in three finishes, aloe vera, olive extract, and smooth legs.
Oh, yeah.
Which aims to prevent...
Well, shouldn't they all be smooth legs?
Which aims to prevent cellulite. Hydrating.
Oh, super chemical.
Hydrating properties include... natural oils and butters such as apricot kernel oil, passion fruit oil, rosehip oil, shea butter, and something that I'm not going to pronounce because it's a Polynesian thing and Manti Te'o probably uses it.
Oh.
I don't know.
Oh. Leave the guy alone. He's mourning his non-existent girlfriend.
Yeah.
Non-death. Wait. Can non-existent girlfriends die? Never mind. Go ahead.
That's more existential shit, Ted. Lizzie Jagger said they definitely feel cooler than regular jeans. After a day wearing them, my legs feel great, and they come out feeling more silky than usual.
Thank goodness for that.
The denim spa jeans launch on ASOS.com on January 28th, and they're priced at £85.
What is that in real money?
Christiana, you know British people. What is 85 pounds?
85 pounds is like 120 bucks.
There you go.
130 bucks?
Yeah.
The effects of the ingredients will last up to 15 days, but a reload spray will also be available to buy, meaning that the formula lasts between 67 and 95 wears.
I don't understand if these things are washable.
Also what works? lotion.
Yeah.
It rubs the lotion on its skin.
Yeah, but that's work. You gotta take the time and rub the lotion on your legs and do all that.
You gotta take the time and spray the lotion on your pants.
Who has time
for these things? If you're a busy lady on the go and you don't have time to...
It's a dumb product. Don't worry about it.
You don't have time.
I don't really think that they're super relevant.
What?
I don't know.
Well, that's why it's priced in pounds and not dollars.
I would love to see... You know, if you combine Brett Favre with lotion jeans, you'd have all sorts of problems. If you remember his little
thing.
Or
a really good dream, and I don't know. Something. I'm not sure how that gets dirty, but it does. Yeah,
everything gets dirty.
Yeah, it happens. I don't know. Not speaking from personal experience,
dear.
But yes.
Yeah, this next story, I saw this story and I immediately thought Ted. I literally thought Ted.
Wow.
It's the story of the man who outsourced his work to China so he could watch cat videos all day.
For the record, I do not do that.
I'm not saying you do. I just say you enjoy cat videos.
I just want my work to know in case they're listening, which I hope they're not.
Yeah, you don't want to find out that you're into existentialism. That's craziness. A Verizon case study recently revealed that some people will go through great lengths in order to be able to watch cat videos all day. What? The study documents a scam of a developer who's referred to as Bob. My guess is he's a white guy. He worked at a, quote, critical infrastructure company in the U.S. and started outsourcing his work to China underneath his company's nose. It would only pay those people less than one-fifth of his six-figure salary. Well, that's just good business.
Yeah, that's what businesses do. They outsource their shit. Why not him?
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't really see. Unless they were contracting for his specific skill, but as long as they were getting what they wanted, who gives a shit?
Well, the employer did, apparently.
Well, Bob, there are security issues, perhaps.
Yeah, but... if there's security issues, but...
There's always... Everything is a security issue. Have you not gone through training
how
yet?
How much more efficient would the guy in China be? Because they don't even have Facebook over there.
That's true.
Or cat videos. Yeah. Bob's company had started letting employees work remotely from home on certain days, so it set up a VPN concentrator to facilitate that. Ted, what's a VPN concentrator?
It's a virtual private network. I don't know what the concentrator is, but it's just a way to virtually connect to a private network so it's secure.
Okay. So the company implemented a two-factor authentication for connection, with the second factor being physical rotating token RSA key fob. So all Bob had to do was send the key over to China via FedEx.
Ridiculous.
Bad idea. The company eventually noticed strange activity on its logs, so it asked Verizon for some help understanding what was going on. It showed that Bob was logged in from China, even though he was sitting at his desk.
That is fantastic. But for a techie, that's pretty stupid not to realize you're going to get nailed doing that.
Yeah.
They initially thought there was some kind of malware routing traffic through an internal connection in China, then back to the U.S., but the Verizon investigators... That would be a great TV show, wouldn't it? The Verizon investigators. They noticed a major red flag. The connection wasn't new and had been active for at least 6 months. So they then zeroed in on Bob and took a forensic image of his computer to recover as many files as possible and then check for signs of malware. What they ended up finding were hundreds of PDF invoices from a third-party contractor in China. So here's how Bob's workday looked. And I'm guessing a lot of people listening have a very similar one.
But they also probably do their own jobs.
They could.
did they end up, that company, I'm just paying the Chinese guy the whole salary? Or were they like, oh, sweet, we can save whatever grand and
they never,
outsource their shit? Yeah.
They never get to that. But this is a guy with a six-figure job. So 9 a.m., arrive and surf Reddit for a couple of hours, watch cat videos.
Yay.
11:30 a.m., take lunch. Because you've been working hard for 2.5 hours. 1 p.m., eBay time, about 2-ish. That would be Facebook updates and LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. 4:30, end of day update email to management. And at 5 o'clock, he would go home.
Wow.
So he worked an 8-hour day, took an hour and a half lunch. So he was really working. If he was actually working, he was only working 6.5 hours.
That's fantastic.
That's
horrible.
It's brilliant, but in an awful sort of way.
No, yeah, it's... Yeah, I'm sure other people outsource their jobs too in the tech world.
But if whoever's paying you to provide a service or product is getting the result they need, who cares?
I think the company does because they're hiring you as an employee. It's different if you're a contractor. If you are contracted to do a job as an outside contractor, that's one thing. How you get the work done is sort of your business. If they hire you as an employee, they're expecting you as an employee to carry out said task.
Plus, the other thing, I don't know what kind of coding he's doing, but it's just when you send your jobs overseas, there's a chance the code that they're making, they're going to steal it and sell it to, you know, another company there. Mm-hmm. And and the fact that they have all these security tools in place suggests that they're trying to protect their code. So it's not cool. It's kind of dangerous to do that, I think.
Yeah.
Not dangerous in like lethal sense, but it can hurt your business. So I don't blame them. And he's highly paid. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, if you're making six figures, you should know enough not to do stupid shit like that.
Yeah, but I don't know about that.
Are you feeling jaded about your job, Christiana?
No, I mean, I don't know.
I don't mean to be preachy, but I think in this kind of job, I think it's important that you not, you know, let... Oh, you know, outsource it to overseas.
I think ultimately
overseas.
It's important that lots of people do their own jobs. But yeah. sort of devil's advocate here.
Well, this is sort of Ted's bailiwick, so.
It is my bailiwig. Wait, what?
Bailiwick.
Yeah, it's Canadian.
It's up in your wheelhouse.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
It's in your wheelhouse, eh?
A. Yeah.
The Nate Darling Show.
Oh.
Cool.
E.
Or tool.
Whoa.
All right, first up in cool or tool. Whomever thought it was a good idea to invite Lupe Fiasco to perform at an inauguration event? Ted.
Ironically, I'm going to say I think it was a good idea to do it just because I think it's ballsy to invite a critic to open your inauguration. But, I don't know if he has a reputation for doing what he did, but he did it. But still, it was a cool move to try.
Christiana.
Tool.
Who's the tool?
Whoever invited him.
Yeah, that's
because
what I'm talking
it's
about.
Not, yeah, it's not a... Yes, no,
too. Yeah, your job when
like you said, the answer's in the name.
Yeah,
you get what you pay for.
When your job is to fill people for entertainment for an event, it's not to have the entertainment turn into a-holes. So, tool. Up next in cooler tool, moisturizing jeans. Christiana, you first.
Tool. Waste of time and money.
Ted?
I'll say tool also, and also they had to slip in. It helps fight leg cellulite. Just another way to make women feel a little worse about themselves. Not to get feminist or anything, but no, maybe I am. Anyway, tool.
I'm gonna go the other way. I'm gonna say it's kind of cool because for the busy professional lady on the go who wants to wear jeans and doesn't have time to rub down her legs with lotion, I'm thinking of tall women in particular. It's a great time saver.
Tall women.
Well, yeah, there's more leg.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that.
There's just more leg to rub lotion on, and I've been told many times that's a lot of work. I don't know that it is, but I've been told that. All right, and finally, in cooler tool, going above and beyond to watch cat videos. Not necessarily what this guy did, but going above and beyond for cat videos. Ted.
Going above and beyond to watch cat videos is definitely cool. I got a new cat this weekend. Cool.
Excellent.
That's all I got to say. Cool.
You're going with cool?
Yeah, I think it's cool. I'm going to say the outsourcing is cool, too. I don't mean that.
Okay.
I don't mean that. Bad.
Yeah, it is kind of cool. I actually admire his moxie, if nothing else, and his innovativeness. And you know what? Someone is going to hire that guy and give him another six-figure job because he thinks outside the box.
Could be.
And that's a buzzword that people like. They like people who think outside the box.
Yeah, that box is very confining.
Here's the caveat to that. If you are someone who makes a lot of money and you think outside the box, people think you're really clever. If you're somebody who is in mid or lower levels of an organization and you think outside the box, they think you're
insubordinate.
You're an insubordinate pain in the ass. That's kind of what it goes with.
Lazy, yep. Troublemaker.
So that's cooler tool. Speaking of tools, I skipped over this earlier. Lance Armstrong was on Oprah. Did you guys watch any of that?
Nope.
I relied on my friends' Twitter and Facebook.
I watched it.
And we knew what he was going to say, and who gives a shit, and I don't like him, and I don't care about cycling, and whatever.
Yeah, it really wasn't about, for me, it wasn't about cycling, because, I mean, I think everybody's cheating in cycling anyway, and it wasn't about that. It was more about the dude sued anybody who said that he was cheating, and he ruined a lot of lives.
That's the dick thing.
Yeah, and that was kind of what I was curious about was... what he was going to say about that, how that was going to be handled. And one thing I didn't really notice when I first watched it, but somebody pointed out the next day, if you watch his body language when he was doing the interview and he was saying he was sorry,
he's not sorry.
He did not look at all sorry.
He's not sorry. He wants to be able to compete again and do stuff.
Yeah. He's sorry because he thinks it might help him get back what he wants. He's like a... he's like a little kid who will tell you whatever he thinks that you need to hear to get to do what he wants. And the big thing, he was offered a plea bargain in November. He could testify like everybody else is doing against him. and he would have had a much shorter ban, and he would have been able to compete in like a year or two. But he said he turned into Dick Lance.
Dick Lance?
Dick Lance. Dick Lance's used cars. I want to start that.
That's like a porn name, Dick Lance.
But. Yeah, it does kind of.
I want to. I'm serious. I want to start Dick Lance's used cars, and I'm only going to sell 2-seat sports cars. That's all.
Awesome.
Dick Lance's used sports cars. So it wasn't. I watched the first one, and I'm like, okay. And then the next night, it was, what does he see for the future? And blah 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 blah. And I watched only about 10 minutes of that. And then I came to the realization of how ironic it was for Oprah Winfrey to be sitting across for someone for that long calling them a narcissist. and nobody else pointed this out. Nobody anywhere pointed it out but me. Because I searched all around because I'm like, somebody had to have this fucking revelation that the woman who is on the cover of her own magazine every single month is chastising somebody for being a narcissist.
It's true. It is.
Although she's the only thing who sells her. She's tried to not, you know, the OWN network wasn't meant to have her on the cover.
No. I'm not.
And she's the only, she like has to be a narcissist to do what she does.
Well, the OWN network, if you're not a narcissist, you don't name it the Oprah Winfrey Network.
She gave it the name, but she wasn't. It's like the equivalent of her if she hadn't appeared on the cover.
No, I understand that. And O Magazine, I get it when you first launch that you're on the cover. The magazine, which is owned by the parent company of KCRA Hearst, so fine magazine, but Oprah is on the cover every month. And that just became the running joke. Oh, the new O Magazine's out. I wonder who's on the cover. Oh, it's Oprah in a new outfit.
One time Gail was there too.
With Oprah.
I know. If I had a magazine, fuck it. I'll put myself on the cover too, because I'm never going to be on the cover of a magazine. So
you don't know that.
Yeah,
I kind of know that.
You could. I mean that political magazine thing there. You could be on that.
No, probably not.
Foreign policy magazine.
Yeah, still no.
I don't know. I mean,
there was a Tim Goodman, formerly of the Chronicle, now of Hollywood Reporter, had a really good article about why on earth would Lance Armstrong do this? He did nothing. It was bad television.
Yeah.
He's a complete moron.
Mm-hmm.
He's a dick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's a despicable person.
Yeah.
And he proved nothing. And it's going to only give the OWN network like a 2-night bounce. And they're going to go back to being pretty relevant.
I think it was a 1-night bounce because I don't think anybody. Yeah. I think the only two, they got very little tune in the second night. And I think it was a lot of it was like me. After 10 minutes, it's like, I don't care about his future. Because that was the other thing is like, okay, the first night I sat through it because I'm like, I want to hear this dick apologize to everybody he screwed over.
Yeah.
And I want to hear his explanation for this. I don't really care about his future and if he ever gets to run in a sanctioned triathlon or ride in a mountain bike race. I don't care. He can run in the donut dash if he wants. Come on out, Lance. Bring
Ooh,
a team.
No.
Bring a team. Run for charity. It's not a USADA sanctioned event. By the way, they kept saying USADA. It sounded like this horrible Middle Eastern terrorist organization.
Or like some kind of tasty carne asada spinoff.
Very good. I just kept thinking maybe James Bond will come down and shut down USADA before they do any damage.
And then have one for dinner to celebrate. I don't know.
Carne USADA?
Carne USADA. I just want to hit both those. Okay. I'm done now.
Okay.
I'm leaving.
You had to get that in?
I did.
I must get on my pun, and then I will move on.
It wasn't a very good pun.
That's okay. None of them are.
Hey, they're...
It's not you. It's just the entire form of the thing.
Okay, that's a whole other episode.
It is. We could argue about puns all day.
Puns are cool or tool? Cool. Okay.
I know I would lose that one 2-1, but
it's true.
Okay, so that's how that would work out.
Okay.
So this thing, I saw this morning. Somebody. One of my Facebook friends posted this morning, and I'm like, huh, and I had to watch it. And the headline is, Men Try Machine That Creates Sensation of Labor. I don't know if I would call labor a sensation. Because I hear sensation, I'm thinking of like a York peppermint patty. Is that what labor is like?
Well, we have to bite into to have the labor sensation.
It's a sensation.
So let's take a little bit of a listen to the story of the men and the labor machine.
They hook themselves up to a machine that they say creates a sensation of labor, and we found out if they can handle the pain. That's one clue right there.
Oh, yeah, look at them. Men are dumb.
Abby Boudreaux takes a look.
Ladies' pain is funny.
It's the kind of pain that, even when it's not exactly real, makes grown men cry. Labor.
We're gonna just have to do this the all-natural way.
Up until this point, only women knew the agony of childbirth.
Women still do, only know.
This scene and knocked up.
Who are the epidural?
But now these two Dutch TV hosts know all that screaming on the big screen isn't just an act.
We were worried about that.
Yeah, I thought it was all fake.
Oh, women.
As part of a stunt, these men were hooked up to a machine with electrodes stuck to their abdomen, all to simulate labor pains. And just like the real thing, the cramping, or contractions, got stronger, longer, and closer together. They say they did it so they could better empathize with women. But not so fast.
You can think of it like a very strong Charlie horse, but is it as painful as labor? My opinion would be it isn't.
Of course, Dr. Jennifer would say that.
The video to Marnette Verzino, who's 5 months pregnant, and her husband, James.
And there's no way for men to know unless they go through it themselves.
Do you think it's important to feel what your wife is going through?
No.
Diogenes can rest easy. We found the honest man.
So just how long could these two take the pain? The average labor lasts between 12 and 14 hours. But these guys, well, they only lasted two. For Good Morning America, Abby Boudreaux, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Okay, you as the only person in the room who's been through labor, how long did yours last?
43 hours.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. That's hardcore. Now, if you would have been hooked up to a machine and could have tapped out at any time, would it have lasted 43 hours?
I was hooked up to a machine to make it start. I tapped out 24 hours into it and had an epidural. If I could have tapped out of the entire thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Of course I would have.
Because that's the whole thing. It's like, well, these men only lasted 2 hours. I'm like, well, but the difference is if you're actually birthing a baby, there's no opportunity to tap out like that. Yeah. It's
elective C-section.
Well, yeah. But I mean, if you're going through labor and you're birthing the baby, it's not like you can just go, doctor, no. And then they're just going to go, all right, call it off. Push it back up in. It'll be fine.
They should find a way to make the guy like shoot a ping pong ball out of his penis to really replicate the pregnancy.
Oh, yeah, ping pong ball.
The penis hole is smaller than the vaginal hole, I'm told.
Thank you.
I'm using my hands to
You're
show you
told?
The differences.
I still think it would be
a water? What? An apple?
Something bigger.
Fine. I'm just saying. It would be painful either way. But
Yes, but the it's completely not analogous because the penis is not made to stretch.
No one can know anyone else's pain.
I was
emotional, physical, or otherwise.
Yeah, it's just the stupidest
spiritual,
thing.
It is stupid. I was being ironic.
Metaphysical.
I didn't realize we'd be taken so seriously when I said that.
No, not you. I'm talking about the whole idea of the machine.
Oh yeah, that's dumb.
It's like I want to feel it. No, you're never.
No,
going.
You pass a kidney stone. You don't even have to get golf ball size. From what I understand, coming out of a penis, it very much hurts.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't know personally, but I don't want to replicate that either.
Right.
But the whole idea is like, oh, well, I'm going to feel... No. Honestly, and I love the guy who manned up and said, when she said, do you think you should do this to feel your wife's pain? He goes, no. No.
Like, who wants that? She doesn't want it, hopefully. He doesn't want it.
Nope.
No, you want it. Your job is to be there and be supportive and do whatever you can help do to make the experience as reasonable as an experience can be as a husband. You need to be supportive and there. The idea that you would go through a fake labor to know what it's like is just silly.
It's kind of just offensive. Just get over it. You can't. Don't worry about it, dudes.
Yeah.
Just be glad you dodged that bullet. Move on with life.
That's my whole thing. It's like, no, what are you doing? I blame the Dutch. What have they done that's helped us?
Tulips.
I could
speed
live with,
skating.
I could live without both of those things.
Flood control.
Well, that's a big one. It really is.
It's a good one.
Do we need, if we need any of their boys to come over for our levies, is that going to be an issue?
No.
Okay. So we all agree that that's quite stupid, right?
Someone decided someone woke up one day and said, I'm going to make a machine. All right, I'm over it.
Well, you know, they do have machines for physical therapy that will cause your muscles to contract. They're used to help rehab muscles and stuff like that. All this is upping the ante and putting it on your abdomen to try and make those muscles expand and contract. But it's not going to be the same because you don't have a womb. You haven't been carrying a baby around for 9 months. That's a whole other thing that goes along with it that you're not going to replicate. Not even Bill Cosby could do it on The Cosby Show, and he tried.
That was a classic. It was. So did Arnold Schwarzenegger. Okay, she had the baby, too. I'm thinking of twins. No, I'm thinking
Junior.
Of the other one. Junior, sorry.
Junior.
Twins was something different. Hey, fun fact, the Dutch invented the yacht and the microscope.
Again, I could do without both of those. One's big, one's small. Don't need either of them.
Okay.
Microscopes are cool.
Screw the Dutch.
And the wind-powered sawmill? I don't know. I'm done. Thank you, Wikipedia. And the stock market? All right, I'm done. I've learned a lot today.
So, Lena Dunham and the Showgirls on HBO, they just started their second season. They're two episodes into season number two. They cleaned up at the Golden Globes. I think they won like five or something like that.
Yeah, they did really well.
They did very well. It's a well-written show. And I watch it. I've seen every episode. But I don't think I really get it. I'm kind of baffled by the show. It's more of a weird curiosity for me. Like, what is going on? I don't really get it. You know, and it's like, do you get the show, girls? I mean, you said you saw season one.
I saw season one. I didn't like it for a lot of episodes. I grew to appreciate it and maybe like it more. But I don't know. I don't think her being called a racist is necessarily.
We'll get to that.
Fair.
Can you?
I don't want to jump ahead.
What would
I guess.
Compare? Is there anything you can compare it to? Just for those of us who have not seen it,
it's a bit Sex in the City-ish, okay. Or a bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I mean, it's a fair amount of
Cougar Camp. No, what's the Cougar show called?
Cougar Town.
Whatever.
No, not remotely.
I
like
love
it.
Pop
Cougar
culture.
Town's,
okay.
Cougar Town's funny.
No.
But it's a good show. It's an interesting character study. Everyone's kind of more of an anti-hero than a hero.
Yeah, my issue is there's no one likable in the show.
They're not tremendously likable.
I don't like anybody.
Did you watch the whole first season?
I've seen every episode.
Okay. I found myself caring.
I don't get
it. I found myself caring slightly more by the end of it, but I don't know. You know, I think she's probably, there's that line from the pilot that she says, you know, I think I'm the voice of my generation or a voice of a generation.
Right.
She probably is, or at least encapsulates the conventional thinking on her cohort.
Yeah.
Which probably doesn't speak too highly of them right now.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, it's sort of, that's what we do. We paint these cohorts with really broad brushes.
Sure. I mean, it's the story. It's, you know, young 20-somethings in New York City, and they've got their own quirks and their own thing. But it's one of those things where I watch it, and I know it's well-written, and I know it's well-done, but it's sort of like if you brought somebody who didn't know anything about hockey to a hockey game, and they're like, I love the cheering, I love the fast skating, I love all the action, but I have no idea what's going on.
I did that once. It was fun.
That's kind of how I feel when I'm watching the show Girls. It also very much struck me that the girl who plays Marnie reminds me of Christiana.
Is that a good thing?
Which one is Marnie? She's the pretty one? Thanks.
She's the best friend. She's played by...
Oh, she turns into kind of a bitch, though.
She's played by Brian Williams' daughter from NBC Nightly News. There is a slight physical resemblance, and your voices sound very much alike. That was what really sort of struck for me was I'm like, wow, she sounds just like Christiana.
Ooh.
But, you know, very weird and shallow. But I didn't know you when you were 22, so who knows what you were like then.
Does that sum it up at all?
What?
Do I sound weird and shallow?
No. The character is weird and shallow.
Okay.
So I'm talking about just the way your voice sounds.
No. I'll have to watch it again now. Listen to the podcast at the same time.
Okay.
See what I sound like to other people. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's I like that a young woman can run her own show
if Judd Apatow is there for her.
That. I fucking hate Judd Apatow.
It doesn't happen if Judd Apatow is not behind
it. I don't like him, which may be why, I mean, I don't love the show.
Right.
But there's aspects of it that are compelling, you know, that she's willing to be so unlikable, I guess, in a lot of ways.
Here's the one criticism I will have for her, and it's not because people are like, she's fat and she's naked. I don't care. I mean, I have no problem with her being naked. My biggest problem is that nobody else is. She's the only one getting naked, her and the shirtless dude. That's it. Nobody else.
More nudity.
That's exactly what I'm saying. It's HBO. I want to see more of the cast nude. That's really it.
That seems fair.
There was a sex scene between Marnie and Lena Dunham's gay ex-boyfriend, now roommate, where they decided to have sex on the couch because he's bisexual. Mm-hmm. And they were very careful to shoot it so that they had a sex scene with no nudity on a couch.
Wow. Well done.
Yeah. That's like spending the extra effort to go, you know what? You're only getting Lena Dunham naked. That's it. Nobody else. And I don't know if that's part of, I mean, she's the EP, so she can do what she wants. I don't know if she's got it written in that nobody else is going to be naked on the show.
I don't think it's nobody else, but I think it's a purposeful choice on her part.
Or on the other actresses. It could be them. It could be they're like, you know what? I don't really want to do a nude scene. She's like, okay, that's cool. That's fine. I'll throw them out there. Literally every show. She's nude. Well, good for her. But when it first aired on HBO, she was accused of racial bias, which I don't really get. She had an entirely white cast.
Oh, my God. That's never happened before.
Yeah. I mean, why would you have a group of friends of one single color that wouldn't necessarily have another friend of another color? They added a black character for season two, or at least for part of it. But so now she's facing the same accusations following a comment that she made on the Howard Stern show. According to the Hollywood Reporter, she went on the show to smooth over tensions created when he called her a, quote, little fat girl who looks like Jonah Hill. She responded by saying, and I quote, I'm not super thin, but I'm thin for, like, Detroit.
Which is not racist, I don't think.
I think she picked the wrong city.
Yeah.
I think she should have, because Tina Fey, there's a great line from 30 Rock episode where she says she's a model in Cleveland.
Right.
Everyone
right.
wants to flee to the Cleve. Leave to the Cleve, Lemon. But so she says she's a model in Cleveland. And there is like a different standard for beauty and thinness in different cities.
Right.
Yeah.
But she picked Detroit. And I think that given the criticism around her show, fair, unfair criticism around her show, she shouldn't have picked a predominantly African-American city.
Right.
I don't know if it's predominantly, you know, statistically predominantly that, but I think the image that people get is that she's, I think it was a poor choice on her part. Maybe not intentional. Maybe she wasn't going for that meeting, but if she'd picked any other Midwestern city,
Chicago,
she would have been fine. Indianapolis,
just the Midwest,
Cleveland, yeah. Columbus,
Wisconsin.
You know, she would have been fine.
Yeah. Detroit.
Totally fine. And she has gotten noticeably thinner since her show was taken off. So
just going to her head.
No, not going to her head, but I mean, I think it, well,
I'm afraid
I think it happens. She's not, as much as she's trying to set, you know, I don't know, break some kind of barrier somewhere, you're not immune to it.
That's what I'm saying. It's maybe
look at like Casey Williams over, Casey Wilson, sorry. Casey Wilson over the course of Happy Endings.
Right.
You know, between beginning of SNL, end of SNL for her over the course of Happy Endings. The shit goes to people's heads.
Well,
so.
when you hang out with Alicia Cuthbert all the time, I mean, and maybe it's...
Yeah, who it looks like a tub next to Eliza Coop or whatever her name is,
yeah,
the other girl. So
it's a very strange cast on that show.
It's a good
but
show.
Anyway...
I like it better than Girls.
You know, I
But
do
I don't
too.
Think it's... I mean, the whole thing, I don't think it's racist that she doesn't have... If she's writing her experience...
Yeah, I mean, it's...
And she doesn't have a multicultural friends, that may be her personal failing not to seek diversity, but, you know, she's not obligated to tell somebody else's story.
Well, and that's the other thing. If you, no matter what you do, you hang out with who you hang out with and you meet people from the things you do and the hobbies you have and how that goes. And if there isn't a racially diverse group of people who enjoy the same hobby or interests that you do, do you then have to go out and cultivate them because you need to have a wide variety of friends just to say you have a wide variety of friends?
Shoot. If so, I might be racist.
Could be. You never know. One of the writer for the BET talk show, Don't Sleep, said that Detroit isn't known for being predominantly white. She said, and I quote, Detroit isn't known for its population of white people. So she doesn't want to be judged for her size, so she shouldn't judge an entire city on theirs.
Ooh.
Sassy.
I think she made a bad...
The joke
would have been funny. She made a bad detail choice.
Yeah. She probably didn't do... Well, that's where the devil is. It's right in the details.
True.
I'm guessing the writer for the show didn't do the snaps like I did, but you never know. I watch a lot of Springer, so there's a lot of this going on.
If she had said she was thin for Springer, it would have had the same effect as saying she was thin for Detroit.
I don't know.
Both could choices be. Of that send a particular message. Mm. Comedy's tricky.
Yeah, it's hard. That's why I don't do it.
But that's why everybody should come check out
In your Facebook?
On Saturday.
Oh, yep.
This is that Saturday.
Sacramento Comedy Spot?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
8 o'clock.
I'll be there.
It's going to be awesome.
Come on in. $8 for our show or $12 for us and Anti-Cooperation League.
Bargain.
Good play.
Yeah. I'll be in both.
it's too bad you can't buy your tickets on Amazon.
This week. No, you can't.
That's a good call.
You can get them ahead of time.
You can buy a new shirt to wear on Amazon.
Sure. You can get
shoes.
Get an outfit.
Yeah.
Get an ensemble if you like.
Yeah. And you can buy tickets for the show online at SacComedySpot.com.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly
money doesn't go to us, so we don't care.
Yeah.
We do not get it, no. We're doing it for the art. Exactly. Just for the art.
And the bragging rights.
Sure. If you want to brag. I mean, I wouldn't, but there you go. We got some sexy coffee shop news for you.
Ooh, finally.
I know. You've been wondering this. from opposite ends of the country, too. Nothing in the middle. Opposite ends. This one from Washington State. Owners of an adult-themed coffee stands in an unincorporated Kitsap County will have to post signs warning would-be customers about their scantily clad baristas. And they'll have to do more to protect passersby from seeing into the business. That's according to an ordinance passed in a unanimous vote of Kitsap County commissioners. The stands have 60 days to comply with the changes, which include a site visit by county planning staff, because they've got nothing better to do. They need to check to see the signs are posted, and additional screening is added. It's always been a tough topic in terms of balance of regulation and personal accountability. That's from the commissioner. Being able to move forward with something that is consumer awareness for signage and screening is an appropriate first step. Of course it is. The ordinance requires adult espresso stands, the three existing stands, and any new ones to install 8-foot-high fence or landscape buffer approved by the County Department of Community Development in front of windows that face the street or other businesses blocking views by the public. Businesses must also receive a one-time certification to guarantee the regulations are met. Now, new stands cannot be within 800 feet of residential zones. Other adult-oriented businesses, public parks, libraries, public or private nurseries, or preschools, schools, childcare facilities, churches, or youth community centers, according to the past ordinance. A sign warning the stands aren't family-friendly must be posted before cars can reach the window. So these are drive-up coffee stands.
Who drives up to coffee stands to get some TNA?
People in Washington State.
Oh.
There have been various coffee houses around that have had, topless or bikini service or something.
Well, let's
and they're
down.
All fucking misogynistic and should be shut down. Fuck anybody who shops at them. Same with anyone who dines at a fucking Hooters, which shouldn't exist either.
How do you really feel?
I think she's against it.
That's could be.
Wait.
The ordinance also requires all employees be at least 18 years old. Well, that's fine.
Yay.
J.J. Wilson, who's the
owner... Not child porn as long as they're 18.
...is the owner of Espresso Gone Crazy stands in Gorse is agreeable to changes, but concerned that privacy screens become too big as employees could be at an increased risk. His stands haven't had any problems with people behaving inappropriately. He hopes making them less visible from the road doesn't change that. He says, I know there are a certain number of people that, regardless of what we're going to do, it's not going to make them happy. The only thing that will make them happy is if they aren't here.
Yep.
There's one sitting to my right. The boiling point was hit more than a year ago when five stands, three of them within a half-mile stretch of Highway 303, advertised employees in pasties and lingerie. Unhappy parents demanded commissioners regulate the business. See, that's it. You're a parent. That's the problem right there. Get all uptight.
No, I'm a woman.
You were all uptight
who
before.
Doesn't like living in a misogynistic society.
Well, then don't go to Washington State.
We're steeped in rape culture and general disrespect and lack of desire for honesty for women.
Back the truck up. Mm-hmm. Rape culture?
Yep.
So rape culture is what they're wearing is responsible for rape culture?
It's part of rape. Objectification of women is part of rape culture.
Okay. I completely disagree with you, but that's okay. We can agree to disagree. Why? Because there's nothing wrong with looking at people that you find attractive. There's nothing wrong with it. It's absolutely perfectly natural. There are people. Somebody who's
dude is dangling someone else's tits out there, so you'll come buy a mocha from him instead of Starbucks. There's stuff wrong with it.
So don't work there. There's nobody twisting your arm saying you have to work
I
here.
I want you to not shop there. I want lots of people to not shop there.
Well, that's everybody's choice to not shop wherever, but Hooters is very busy. And they're a family restaurant.
I feel like we're getting close to that baseball player thing where... You know, he has the right to say it. Like, you have the right to look at things or you have the right to shop places, but that's fine. But if the choices that you're making can harm a population of people, you should investigate why you're making them.
I would even go so far as to say you might have a case if you're talking about strip clubs, but you're talking about restaurants, and people don't have to work there if they don't want to. If you want to be a barista, you can go work at Starbucks. You can go work anywhere you want. The women who are working in these places are choosing to work there. There's nobody out there rounding up runaways and making them sell coffee and keeping all of the money for themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're taking it a step beyond what it really is.
What is it really?
It's a way to get people to buy coffee.
Right.
It's a way to get people in.
By appealing to maybe not awesome aspects of our culture.
Well, that's fine. I have no problem. If you're like, well, you shouldn't shop there.
How
okay,
many
fine.
Big dong coffee shops are there out there? Where I could come and like look at some
not
guy's
enough.
Junk.
Yeah, go ahead. Huh. Open one. I don't care.
If you open one, I'm sure you... Oh, I don't care. I personally wouldn't care if you open one of those, but I'm not...
Yeah, I really couldn't care less if you opened one. It would be... You know who would show up to the big non-coffee shop? All the gay dudes. Mm-hmm. Because dudes are into the visual aspect of life, and women are into not necessarily the visual aspect, more about emotional and thought and stuff like that. Men are very visual.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh my God! You think?
Oh my God!
Am I? I'm that wrong?
I think you're wrong.
Okay, so if
I
you
think you're just, I think that's just part of.
If you opened up the Dong's Coffee Shop,
sexism.
I
wouldn't open the Dong's Coffee Shop any more than I would patronize or respect people who would patronize.
But we're
going to
go down
the topless.
We're going down
shop.
The Dong Coffee Shop road for a moment here, if you will. Do you honestly think if you opened up Dong's Coffee Shop? Maybe it's a Chinese place. I don't know. But if you open Dong's Coffee Shop, that it would be filled with women.
No.
Exactly.
Probably not.
It would be filled with gay dudes who are there to look at dudes because guys are visual. Mm. That's how we roll.
Girls are more visual than probably give us credit for.
Well, maybe.
But the point is, just because it's not a strip club, I think less of people who patronize Hooters.
Okay.
I think less of people who would patronize this coffee shop.
Okay.
Because I think that you're underestimating the ill effect that that type of establishment has on women and women's equality.
I completely disagree with you, but that's okay. You know who agreed with you? This arsonist who burned down a topless coffee shop in Maine. He's appealed his conviction.
See, there's ones in Maine. I mean, it's weird that there's this many topless coffee shops around, right?
Yes, there's one in Maine and five in Washington State, in places where it's cold and dreary.
If I were the state, I'd shut that down because can you imagine the workers' comp claims there? Of all the many food things you could serve that you probably shouldn't do topless. I mean, when I was a barista, we had to wear closed-toed shoes just in case stuff dripped on our feet. So, what are you going to get scalded
See,
by
now,
hot milk?
Good. I will completely buy that argument. I'm on board with you there. This guy, Raymond Bellavance Jr., consistently denied he burned down the Grandview topless coffee shop 3.5 years ago, a denial that jurors rejected when they convicted him of arson. Now he's appealing his conviction to the Maine Supreme Court, where he's scheduled to hear oral arguments in the case next month in Portland. He is serving a 30-year sentence. 30 years. That's a long time. At the Maine State Prison in Warren, and is represented in his appeal by Andrews Campbell, who also defended him at trial. Well, it worked out well before. What could go wrong this time?
That is a really long sentence.
Just before his sentencing, Bellavance himself weighed in on his early appeal in a letter mailed to the Kennebec Journal and distributed at sentencing hearing. In it, he claims to be the victim of a corrupt justice system and at least sloppy police work. I make this claim because I, Raymond Bellavance, am not guilty of the crimes charged against me. My name has been driven into the mind of the public as a monster convicted of arson. I want a little Kennedy with that. Sorry. I don't know why.
That was all Mayor Quimby.
Well, that is based off of Kennedy. So the coffee shop, which featured topless waitresses and waiters, there you go, equal opportunity, serving coffee and donuts attracted, I don't want to know how they serve donuts.
Oh, no. They didn't strap them to their wieners, did they?
You know, I was letting people draw that picture in their mind, but thanks.
I wanted to make sure it was.
Yeah, you wanted to make sure it was etched?
Everyone get it?
Did you get it?
On their wieners.
It was like ring toss.
You know what? I just had a thought. I changed my mind. Okay. I would work at one of these places if I was still a lactating mom, just because I'd want people to wonder.
That would be awesome.
You want some milk in your coffee?
Would you like fresh milk?
Unfortunately, there was a shop in England.
All I have is cream top.
In England, they actually made ice cream out of women's milk.
Yeah, they did. I remember that.
It's a delicacy.
Is it?
I don't know.
It's super sweet. Breast milk's crazy, crazy sweet.
Like as in it tastes sweet or is it sweet?
No, it tastes sweet. It's really sweet.
Oh. Sweet.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah, that's
why the babies like it.
Oh.
I'm glad.
And not just the babies.
Yeah, human milk for human babies.
Glad we had an argument. That made everything feel better for me.
Okay, the first rule of Jewish Fight Club is if somebody says ow, you stop.
I'm sorry.
Why are you picking on the Jews? It wasn't me involved in that long conversation.
I am a professionally trained radio DJ.
If there's one thing America needs, it's more lawyers.
Okay, we got everybody in
We're
now.
In the gamut, okay.
Ha! Yeah. Well, that's pretty much almost the end of the show. That's
Yay.
Pretty. That's some good pod right there.
We're getting close to nearing the end of.
I know it's weird because it was the holiday, so we're recording a night later than we normally do. So there you go.
Tuesdays get crazy.
They do. Big announcement. In addition to Zach from the Donut Dash coming on the show in 2 weeks. When Christiana is off next week, Becca Costello will be sitting in.
Woohoo! Being girlfriend.
And in February, when Christiana is again off, we will have Nick Pettigrew sitting in.
So awesome.
We're going to have a sausage fest.
He's funnier than me. Well, so is Becca. I don't know how I feel about this.
Oh,
I feel
no.
threatened.
Well, you took the time off. It's
and no one's more threatening than Vegan Girlfriend.
Right.
She's bad news. I'm threatened by her, too.
She's been to India, so there's that. And
she's ballsy. I couldn't do that.
Me
I get
either.
Scared. I get scared in crowds.
Yeah, I mean the diarrhea alone would be enough to keep me away from there. Other big announcements: we are going to be doing our second annual Golden Naked Man Awards. It's the Nate Darling Show special tribute to the Oscars with myself, Jason Knight from JD Knight Films, and my friend Hootie. We'll be doing that.
I don't know why the regular cast doesn't get to get in on this.
You can come if you like, but you have to run over here like right after the Oscar telecast. That's how it works. We record it immediately following the Oscars. We watch the show, and then the show is not about the movies and what won and what lost. It's about
the show.
So it's kind of fun that way. And right after that, in March, the podcast is expanding to 2 shows a week.
Two? That's nuts.
Oh, my God.
One for each boob.
It's 50% more show.
Can we outsource the job to China once half the time?
It's actually 100% more show, but still.
No, because the second hour, we're only going to like kind of half do it.
Well, we make
just that. Phone it in.
We'll see how it goes.
So we're outsourced. It will be good to go.
I may do that. But that's going to be coming in March, too. So twice as much show. You'll have new shows on Wednesday and Friday for you. So more cool stuff to come. And that's all what's going on. So let's move along with things.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
Small town news. Small town news.
Oh. You tried to do the Mel thing?
It's going old school.
I like your theme song, Ted. I support your choice.
Oh, that was Mel's, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Becca and I were singing
that
the other day.
I support Mel's choice. And your rendition of. It was
like
a cover.
A cover, aw. But we'll do this thing.
So small town news goes back to my home area of Derby, Vermont, where local Walmart proponents are seeing some light at the end of the tunnel and getting their very own big box store.
There are proponents of Walmart outside of Walmart itself?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, people like cheap things. That's true. Okay.
Well, no, if you live up in that area, there is no, like, department store. There's no mall. If you want to buy certain things, then you
go on Amazon.com.
Or you have to drive to New Hampshire.
Oh.
I'm going to turn down John Mellencamp here for a second because we actually have It's such big small town news that the TV station showed up.
Talked about for years, and now plans for a Walmart are moving forward in the Northeast Kingdom. The retail giant wants to build its biggest Vermont store in the border community of Derby. Matt Henson has more on the proposed project.
Giselle Seymour is credited with bringing the nation's largest retailer to Derby.
But all they say, if you want something, you got to go after it. And I went after it. What woman wants, God wants.
She led a petition drive asking the town to lure Walmart to the area after Ames closed in 2002, leaving the region without a big box retailer. And 2 years ago on town meeting day, 85% of voters in Derby and Newport asked planners to support bringing Walmart to town.
The people of Newport and the people of Derby voted overwhelmingly to...
By the way, this is the state representative speaking now.
...support having a place to buy underwear so we don't have to go to Littleton.
Walmart previously eyed Derby in 2005.
That's right. People have to drive to New Hampshire to buy underwear.
Now, with the economy turning around, the retail giant wants to build its first supercenter in the state on this plot of land off Route 5. At 150,000 square feet, it would be about 30% larger than the store in Williston. It would provide 300 full and part-time jobs. A supercenter includes a grocery section. What else it will offer will be determined as the project goes through the local and state permitting process.
Other departments that it may have are literally dependent on the community.
Literally.
But putting a shovel in the ground in Derby may not be easy. A similar project in St. Albans took 20 years to get through the permitting process due to environmental
challenges. Welcome to Vermont.
The group that led that
opposition,
the Vermont Natural Resources Council, is also opposed to this project.
Vermont is such an interesting state, such a mixed bag of...
At the same time, we're very concerned about the economic vitality of our downtown.
Developers say building the store downtown was considered, but was too expensive and not feasible for many reasons. The mayor of Newport feels even being located on the outskirts of the city, Walmart will have a positive economic impact, especially with a $600 million revitalization plan for the downtown.
I think it will actually keep people shopping local. It will help attract stores to downtown.
The Natural Resources Council says...
Well, the logic behind that statement is people already have to drive to New Hampshire to buy things, so they're not shopping at all locally. They're just... So if they have to... You buy your things at Walmart, and then you buy your other things downtown. It's actually a model that's worked in like small towns in New Hampshire.
Oh, okay.
Before I
croak. Who is that lady?
So this lady, I gotta stop this for you. She is the lady who did the petition drive to get the Walmart to come. And she has one more thing to say before we go, which is awesome.
Seymour is happy her dream is one step closer to becoming a reality. She hopes she will be there when the doors open.
I hope it happened before I croak. I'm 94.
If the permit...
She's 94 years old. She's obviously French-Canadian, which I have a soft spot in my heart for. This little old lady was like, we need to have a store here, and there's no store here, and we need to get a Walmart. So she went out and did what you love to do, knocked on doors, got signatures on petitions.
Bless her.
And, yeah, got everything to the point.
My inner progressive is torn since it ultimately resulted in a Walmart, but, you know,
right.
It's okay.
But
the people needed it. The people needed it.
Right.
Well, let's go to Littleton for underwear.
Right.
We don't have
she
any.
She doesn't. She's 94.
I know she can't go. To
you Littleton. Don't. You don't really have a choice when you live. When you live in that area, like where my parents live, you have to drive in order to go to a department store of any kind. You've got at least an hour long drive. Now,
I hope all those people use Amazon instead.
That's what I'm saying. Portal. Yeah. Why go? All right. Never mind.
That would be nice, but. Because the Walmart ain't going to open tomorrow. They're talking about at least like a year and a half, 2 years. By the way, the current conditions in Vermont, 2 degrees. 2 degrees.
Two.
I'm just curious. I have to look at the five-day forecast while we're here.
It might get up to four.
Nope. Here is the forecast for Burlington, Vermont. For Wednesday, the forecast high is 1 with a low of minus 14. Thursday, it's going to warm up.
That's not a real number.
Thursday, it's going to warm up to 6 with a low of minus 6.
That's not real.
And then Friday, they're going to get a chance of snow showers with a high of 16 and a low of 6 above 0.
Balmy.
The snow like warms it up. That's sad. No, just kidding.
Well, yeah. Uh-huh. It's one of those things. There used to be this myth that it would be too cold to snow, And then a little bit before I moved to California, it was below zero and snowing one day. And it's like, well, this is just fucked up.
Wow.
Congratulations.
It's like, yeah, so there you go.
And you were like, I'm so out of here.
Yeah, yeah. The day I left Vermont, I left Northern New York, but same neck of the woods. The actual temperature was 5 degrees below zero, and the wind chill was between 15 and 20 degrees below zero. So, yeah.
Yeah, the temperature at Disneyland, when Ted was there, was like 75 and perfect.
It was ridiculously summery.
Yeah, and when we're going, it's forecast to be like 60 and raining.
Oh, that's what we had last year.
Which is a bummer. But it keeps a bunch of people home, so yeah, yay for short lines.
Yeah, it's sort of like when I get up in the morning to go train. In Sacramento, it's been below freezing.
It's for the past cold like cold lately and frosty.
For like the past
terrible.
Two Boy. Weeks, you get up in the morning and it's below freezing.
Yeah,
and that just sucks. I'm just gonna say it sucks. I mean, it's California; it should not be below freezing in the morning. I'm looking forward to warm up. That's all I got to say about that.
I agree with you.
So there you
tool.
Go.
Or tool. The weather's tool.
It's a new podcast for you. We hope you all enjoy.
Yeah.
Come back next week, except Christiana, who will be off enjoying Disneyland.
I'll call in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You could do that.
On location.
All right. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye, everybody. Got a kiss like my, oh my. A couple more and I just may die. She looks a lot like a movie star. Oh, how I miss her when we're apart. Perfect lips and pretty eyes. She tells me she don't want. Home.